Welcome to the Young Turks. Cenk Uygur, Anna Kasparyan with you guys. Big Monday. Mondays are always big. They're bigly, surrounded by Sundays and Tuesdays. It's because there's a lot of news over the weekend. I know, big shock. We got some Biden stuff. We got a lot of Trump stuff. We got coronavirus. We got TYT.com/go. We got $19,000. We got a thermometer. There it is. And we're going to keep that going. 200,000 is what we try to get every month so we could survive, be sustainable, strong, and healthy for you guys, light in the darkness, et cetera. And speaking of which, tomorrow is Giving Tuesday. We're ostensibly doing a show around that. And we do, of course, want to raise good money so that we could be all those things, sustainable, healthy, et cetera. But we're going to give you a four-hour show. And it is going to be packed with substance and fun. I am going to unveil my five-year plan for the progressive takeover of the country. It's no joke. There will be two significant surprises in there and maybe a third. I'm working on a third right now. So make sure you tune in tomorrow. 5:30 is when the interviews are. 6 o'clock is the Young Turks. And 7 o'clock, three-hour special starts with me, Anna, and John. So don't miss any of that. That's right here tomorrow. All right, Anna, you got the news today.
All right, let's do it.
Why do you believe Biden and not Kavanaugh? Are they not both entitled to the same presumption of innocence, regardless of their political views?
That was Jake Tapper asking a question that many are wondering about when it comes to some of the defenses that establishment Democrats have used against Tara Reid in an effort to defend Joe Biden, who's been accused of sexual assault. Now, Gretchen Whitmer, who's a possible VP pick for Joe Biden, was asked that question. Let's hear what she has to say.
Jake, as a survivor and as a feminist, I'll say this. We need to give people an opportunity to tell their story. But then we have a duty to vet it. And just because you're a survivor doesn't mean that every claim is equal. It means we give them the ability to make their case and the other side as well, and then to make a judgment that is informed. I have read a lot about this current allegation. I know Joe Biden, and I've watched his defense, and there's not a pattern that goes into this. And I think that for these reasons, I'm very comfortable that Joe Biden is who he says he is. He's and you know what? And that's all I'm going to say about it. I really resent the fact that every time a case comes up, all of us survivors have to weigh in. It is reopening wounds, and it is, you know, take us at our word, ask us for our opinion, and let's move on.
So that was Whitmer's response to it. I do want to just quickly clarify one statement she made and provide some facts to it, because she says that there's no pattern. And I hear this point regurgitated quite a bit by centrist Democrats. But the truth is, while there haven't been any other credible allegations of sexual assault, there certainly has been a pattern in regard to Biden invading the personal space of women, touching them in ways that they felt uncomfortable with. In fact, Reid was one of 8 women who came forward last year with allegations that Biden made them feel uncomfortable with inappropriate displays of affection. And this case is actually very, I wouldn't say very different from the Christine Blasey Ford case. And that was the woman, of course, who accused Brett Kavanaugh of attempting to rape her. This is a little different in that you have several people now who have gone on the record to tell reporters that Tara Reid did share details of what allegedly happened to her at the time that it allegedly happened. And so that's way more evidence than we had in the Dr. Ford case. And I just find it interesting how it certainly is being treated differently from the Blasey Ford case.
Yeah. Well, look, there are differences. And so, first of all, on Whitmer, I don't remember folks being agitated about getting asked about it when it was Kavanaugh. So now that she's trying to be Biden's VP, all of a sudden when you ask her about it, she's agitated. It's a perfectly normal question, and I don't see any reason why people shouldn't ask that. Do I know what happened that day? For the billionth time, I'll say I don't. And I think that there's interesting evidence on both sides, which we'll get into in this video as well. In terms of the corroborating witnesses, I'm very frustrated that every article is vague, and it's a core part of their job. You talk to the witnesses. I wish we had, but you did. So are they saying that they're corroborating sexual harassment, sexual assault? Are they corroborating the touching, which Tara Reid talked about earlier and was on the record about for over a year? You know, the rubbing the necks, the neck, and the touching the shoulders, etc. Or are you talking about the significant sexual assault being corroborated? And, you know, Jake, sometimes it's clear, but oftentimes it isn't.
Yeah, so I wanted to jump in on that because I've been poring over these stories, and you're right in that with some of the witnesses, it's a little unclear. But let me just remind you of the former colleague of Tara Reid. She had told Business Insider that she remembers the skirt and, you know, the touching, basically the details of the sexual assault. Then there was Tara Reid's next door neighbor who said unequivocally that Tara Reid gave her the details of the sexual assault. And just recently, the Associated Press published a lengthy interview with Tara Reid. And in that piece, they also talked to two additional individuals, one of whom said was told about the sexual assault at the time that it happened. The second person, both of these people are anonymous, by the way. The second person said that Tara Reid told her about the sexual harassment 10 years later. So it varies depending on which witness we're talking about here.
Yeah. So in terms of your comment, Anna, that, you know, she has more corroborating witnesses than Dr. Ford, that is true. Although if you know, ask any establishment Democrat, almost certainly they will give you the opposite answer, even though that's an actual factual question. That's a fact, right? Whether you believe them is an opinion, but and I don't blame Dr. Ford for not having corroborating witnesses. She was a young girl. She didn't know it was going to come up decades later, et cetera. But there is another difference that leans another direction, which is that Dr. Ford was very, very consistent throughout, very credible, very believable. And Tara Reid at times is consistent and at times is very believable. And then I have to point out that she said back in 2019 to the AP, I wasn't scared of him, that he was going to take me into a room or anything. It wasn't that kind of vibe. Now, that was just a year ago. That wasn't a long time ago. So I don't know why in the world she said that if she had already been sexually assaulted by him and she knew that that's exactly the kind of vibe that he gave out, because that's what he did to her. So I'm not saying that's what he did. I don't know why she would say that if she did experience it. So whereas Dr. Ford did not have that kind of inconsistency. So there's evidence on both ends of it being more credible and less credible.
So I want to give you some more, you know, information of what we're learning through this story developing. But let me just interject with a little bit of commentary, because for all of the Democrats who have weaponized the Me Too movement for political purposes, they have done a great deal of damage to that movement, which I think started with all of the best intentions, but unfortunately was co-opted, in my opinion, by bad actors who decided to weaponize it for their own purposes. I don't agree with the headline that I'm about to read to you guys. In fact, I find it pretty disturbing and disgusting, but there's a little bit of respect toward it because of how brutally honest it is. And I wish that centrist Democrats would just come out and say it. I wish they would come out and say what they actually think. Just like Robin Abkarian, a columnist at the LA Times, did over the weekend, she published a column with this headline: "Whatever happened with Tara Reid in 1993, Biden is still infinitely better than Trump." That is a strong statement to make, because whatever happened with Tara Reid, so if he raped her, doesn't matter. It's okay. It's okay if Tara Reid was raped, because Biden's still better than Trump. I mean, I don't agree with that, obviously, right? I think that, you know, making a value judgment based on two people who could be sexual predators is an issue, to say the least. But I just wish, like, Whitmer would just say it. Look, regardless of what happened, I think that Biden would be a better candidate, would be a better leader for this country. Just say it. But stop pretending like you see a significant difference in the credibility of Dr. Ford versus Tara Reid. It's just a disgusting way of handling it because it needlessly smears and attempts to discredit a woman who has come forward with these allegations and literally has nothing to gain from it whatsoever.
So as far as we know, look, in terms of the centrist Democrats, some of them are now using the same talking points that the Republicans used to use. Why didn't she come out earlier? Why did she ever praise Biden? I mean, this is what Republicans said about Anita Hill. This is what they said about Christine Blasey Ford. So now the same people who are outraged by Republicans saying that are saying the same exact things about Tara Reid. So look, I think the Tara Reid allegations are totally removed from any judgment on how good or bad a candidate Donald Trump is. So, you know, how you vote 6 months from now, to me, is a completely different issue than whether this is true or not true. I mean, so it's like saying, okay, well, if Biden did this, then he is worse than Hitler. Or if Biden did, even if Biden did this, he is still better than Hitler. Okay, why are we, I mean, I know why we're talking about Hitler in this case, because he's running against him. But, right, it's apples and oranges. So, and I think that what's frustrating me about it is that centrist Democrats feel like if they say this happened, then they have to somehow admit that Trump is better than Biden. But they don't have to admit that at all. Trump is accused of 12 sexual assaults and harassments. So, over 12, over a dozen. So, I mean, some counts are in the multiple dozens. Depending on how you count Trump's aggressions. So you don't have to say that Biden is worse than Trump to say that this happened. And or if you say this happened, it doesn't mean you have to vote for Trump. But like we live in a world where there is no longer news. There's only two sides. You're either going to vote this way or you're going to vote that way. And everything is partisan and everything is viewed through that partisan lens. So, for example, on this show, when we break that partisan lens and we say, hey, listen, Tara Reid could be right and Trump could still be a monster, it doesn't compute. So hence we get charged with, oh, so you want Trump to win, which like in a logical world has no nexus whatsoever. But in a world that is purely partisan, that is how they view it. So if I want Trump to lose, I'm going to say Tara Reid's a liar. And God damn it, don't do that. Because that those two things are not logically connected, and it's totally not fair to her. Now, that also doesn't mean she's definitely telling the truth. I don't know. There's both facts on both sides. And by the way, saying there's facts on both sides doesn't mean that they're equal either. There could be 90% on one side, 10% on another side. But there's so many facts, it's certainly a worthy question and worthy of being asked.
Well, I want to move on to one other part of this story that really just drove me crazy over the weekend, because it shows you that, you know, the very things that centrist Democrats accuse Trump of, they certainly engage in as well. So imagine being a Democrat who understands the importance of getting Donald Trump out of office because of his authoritarian tendencies and his brutal behavior toward the press. And then turning around and doing the exact same thing that Trump does. Well, that's what we saw over the weekend by a Joe Biden advocate by the name of Lindy Lee. She's one of his surrogates. And she tweeted and then later deleted the following tweet. Now that Tara Reid's story has completely imploded, which, by the way, that's not true. She just made that up. I hope the FBI investigates Nathan Robinson, Katie Halper, Ryan Grimm for their role in this fraud. Tara, or whatever your actual name is, you have gravely harmed the Me Too survivors. And then she uses the hashtags, I believe Biden, I believe Joe, Tara Reid is a liar. Now, I just want to note, the deputy communications director for the Biden campaign came out and condemned this And his name is Bill Russo. I'm glad that he did. He said, to be clear, you do not speak for this campaign and are not representing our values with comments like this. If you really support the Biden campaign, you would do well to see the VP's or vice president's recent comments about how we respond with dignity and respect. So to Bill Russo, you're doing a good job communicating the right way to handle this. So thank you. And Lindy Lee later deleted the tweet. But understand what she's calling for there. She's calling for an FBI investigation into journalists who merely did their jobs in reporting on this story. It's disgusting and terrifying.
You know, here's what I've discovered about the world. Breaking news. There's a lot of disturbed people on the planet. And a lot of them have very official jobs. They look like credible people. And they get validation through things like being delegate for a major candidate like Joe Biden. But there's now been a number of things that Lindy Lee has said that are strange, to put it mildly. This would have been more concerning if it had gained traction, but if it's just one delegate and the campaign denounces them, then the damage is limited. But the idea of suggesting that you should arrest reporters who don't agree with you, well, that would be Trumpian, obviously, and maybe even beyond. At least there is some strand of it in the establishment. And, you know, look, it's not fair to put it on everyone else, as I just explained. At the same time, what she's doing is a more extreme version of what you do see all over Twitter and from the entire establishment, which is that this topic originally was verboten. So when Ryan Graham first covered it for The Intercept, there was a ton of criticism. Nobody went as far as Lindy did in saying that he should be arrested, but they said he lost credibility when he was bringing the story. Same reporter at The Intercept, also a contributor at The Young Turks, bringing the Christine Blasey Ford story, they thought he was an American hero. When he breaks a part of the Tara Reade story, they're like, well, we always said, in fact, Howard Dean even said it, we always said that The Intercept is not legitimate. Ryan Grimm is not legitimate. So Lindy's taking it one step further and saying, well, if he's not legitimate, as every one of my friends in the establishment agrees, well, now, you know, I say I'll go further. And it, by the way, a giant step forward, don't get me wrong. And he should be arrested, and so should Katie Halper, et cetera. So those instincts are there. It's good to see the Biden campaign at least being forcefully against that.
Exactly. And you know, you kind of reference this, but let me give more details to the audience. Lindy Lee has gotten into trouble in the past because of some of the deceptive ways she operates. So she lost her job as treasurer of the Pennsylvania Young Democrats in February after tweeting out a doctored video of Biden's then opponent, Senator Bernie Sanders. And by the way, in regard to her call to have the FBI investigate reporters who are simply doing their jobs in investigating Tara Reade's accusations, don't forget that Joe Biden, the accused person here, told Mika Brzezinski just last week that these are the types of things that should be investigated. If you forgot, here's the video.
Your words, should we not start off with the presumption that the essence of what she's talking about is real? She says you sexually assaulted her.
Look, from the very beginning, I've said believing women means taking the woman's claim seriously when she steps forward and then vet it, look into it. That's true in this case as well. Women have a right to be heard, and the press should rigorously investigate claims they make. I'll always uphold that principle. I'm not suggesting she had no right to come forward, and I'm not saying any woman, they should come forward. They should be heard, and then it should be investigated. It should be investigated.
So again, Biden called for the claims to be investigated. And I just want to remind you all of what he said about the Blasey Ford accusations back in September of 2018. He said the following. This is the last graphic. For a woman to come forward in the glaring lights of focus nationally, you've got to start off with the presumption that at least the essence of what she's talking about is real, whether or not she forgets facts, whether or not it's been made worse or better over time.
Yeah. But, you know, that cuts two ways, because if he knew that he had sexually assaulted someone like that before, would he have made that strong a statement? I don't know.
I'm not really interested in pop psychology. I don't know how his brain works. But what I do know is that there was a certain... Did it or not,
you know, so I don't know. But I will tell you this. There is something we clearly do know, and I don't want to let this go without making this point. Now, the Biden campaign, the mainstream media, think it's perfectly legitimate to ask about Tara Reid, to investigate the issue. But back during the primaries, they all thought it was illegitimate. The New York Times did not cover it at all. CNN did not cover it at all. None of the major outlets covered it, even though that is when the story broke. For several weeks, they chose not to cover the story. And yes, the establishment at the time was saying that it was guys like Ryan Grimm who were covering it were illegitimate. And they were questioning the motives of even the reporters, saying, well, I mean, is Katie Halper a Bernie Sanders supporter? So thereby saying that anything that anyone ever says that's a progressive is disqualified from a national conversation. So, but now that Biden is against the Republican opponent, and by the way, it wasn't just the media, it was also Biden's campaign. They refused to have Biden make any comment about it during the primaries. They dismissed it by their actions as illegitimate. But now that the mainstream media has picked it up, they're like, oh, okay. Now that ABC and CNN are asking me about it, it's now legitimate. So it isn't about respecting Tara Reid. It isn't about respecting women. It's about who are you running against. If you're running against a Republican, all of a sudden it's a legitimate question that the entire media will completely flip on and go from illegitimate to legitimate. But if you're running against a progressive, who cares? We're never going to cover it. It is what it is, and we're not going to respond to it, and we don't respect Tara Reid or women or anything else as long as we're running against the progressive. That's the facts of what happened here, and they are absolutely indisputable.
When we come back from the break, we'll show you a new video that George W. Bush released and also share some of the fawning that we've seen from Democratic politicians. We'll be back.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called Un-F-ing the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of Un-F-ing the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
you must unlearn what you have learned.
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. Lots of comments, including plenty that disagree with me. So let me read some of those. Let me go backwards here and start on Twitter. Hashtag TYT Live to talk to us during the show. Ray Navia writes in, just a reminder for Cenk, because he clearly doesn't understand, the behavior from Tara Reid is consistent with how victims of sexual assault will act based on how comfortable they are with people they are talking to about their story. Fair enough. Let's keep going. Nameless individual on YouTube Super Chat says, Cenk, Tara Reid probably has PTSD or something, and talking about the person who hurt her would be difficult. It is common for survivors to deny it. I'm going to just let you have your say. Heather Brady says, sorry, Cenk, you're wrong about being insistent. Tara was explaining that she didn't think Biden was going to force himself on her if she fought back. That doesn't contradict what she's saying happened now. So those are all fair interpretations. I think it's also a fair interpretation to say, he didn't give me a vibe of, let me make sure I give you the exact quote. I wasn't scared of him, that he wasn't going to take me into a room or anything. It wasn't that kind of vibe. But a year later, she says that he did not take her into a room, but throw her up against the wall, basically, and sexually assault her. So I know that sexual assault victims have an enormous range of reactions, and there is nothing, quote-unquote, normal. And I disagree with the people who are throwing her under the bus right now and saying, oh, you shouldn't believe her because of X, Y, or Z. And again, they're wildly inconsistent. But right or wrong, I've been consistent. I don't know, and I give you evidence on both sides, and I think that's evidence on the opposite side. But if you disagree, God bless. That's why I read your comments. Devil Dog 0311 in our member section makes a great point, and this is something that I often think about, but we haven't mentioned enough on the show. He said, let's not forget Biden's penchant for telling tall tales. He loves to make himself look like a savior or a brave, thoughtful leader. This time it blew back on him. That is in another important context here, which is that Biden, you talk about a pattern. He has a pattern of lying a lot, very, very consistently, and about important things. Now, no one in the mainstream media will tell you that, because that they actively cover for him. And they're wrong, and it's provable. So if you're going to look at patterns, you should look at patterns on both sides. Last one's just a fun one. Peace writes in, what's up, everyone? So excited for today's show, but super excited for tomorrow. Me too. That's when I will explain the five-part plan for taking over the country for progressives. Don't miss it. Starts at 5:30 with interviews and is basically 4.5 hours. All right. Let's do the rest of the show. Anna, go ahead.
All right. Over the weekend, George W. Bush released a video urging the country to unify during this time of crisis while we combat the coronavirus. Take a look.
The larger challenge we share is to confront an outbreak of fear and loneliness. And it is frustrating that many of the normal tools of compassion, a hug, a touch, can bring the opposite of the good we intend. In this case, we serve our neighbor by separating from them. We cannot allow physical separation to become emotional isolation. This requires us to be not only compassionate, but creative in our outreach. And people across the nation are using the tools of technology in the cause of solidarity. In this time of testing, we need to remember a few things. First, let us remember we have faced times of testing before. Following 9/11, I saw a great nation rise as one to honor the brave, to grieve with the grieving, and to embrace unavoidable new duties. And I have no doubt, none at all, that this spirit of service and sacrifice is alive and well in America. Second, let us remember that empathy and simple kindness are essential, powerful tools of national recovery.
So apparently that video was heartfelt enough to make some Democrats completely forget that we're dealing with a war criminal here, someone who didn't protect the country from 9/11, someone who led us into a preemptive war with Iraq that led to millions of Iraqis dying. Abu Ghraib is another example. Torture is another example. Warrantless wiretapping is another example. I mean, the Bush administration was a complete and utter disaster, but Katie Hill has forgotten about that because on Twitter, she apparently needed to share that video brought her to tears. She says, in a million years, I never thought I'd be crying watching this, thinking how much better we'd all feel if Bush were the president today. And then apparently that had so much backlash in response to it that she had to clarify what she meant and said, to people who are mad about this tweet, are you really saying that you wouldn't feel better if Bush were in the office instead of Trump? We're talking about relativity here. Not that I think for one second Bush was a good president. That's not the point, or that's the point. And then we have some other examples for you, including the Nebraska State Senator Megan Hunt. She says that it was a beautiful message, and she thanks Bush for it. And Deborah Messing also shared her thoughts, saying that Bush is, quote, a real president.
So, but there's a huge difference, though. The state senator is saying it's a beautiful message, and the beginning part of Katie Hill's statement is saying it's a good video. I actually agree with that. I think it was a good video. I think it was moving, and I'm glad he did do it. The second part is the part that's totally unacceptable. He was not a real president. He was an absolute debacle. I mean, also let New Orleans drown during Hurricane Katrina. Seemed to lack empathy in that regard, let alone many other regards. He caused the Great Recession and then bailed out his banker friends. And to me, one of the most egregious, because of how willful it was he ran the 2004 campaign against gay marriage so that he can get reelected. He put ballot measures up, Karl Rove did, in all those states, the swing states, so that people would get frenzied about hating gay people to go out and vote against them and then vote for Bush. And it worked, and that's how he got reelected. So don't tell me about how great a president Bush is. Bush was a terrible, vicious president. So now there's one reason I think that Trump is worse. There's multiple reasons why Trump is an epic disaster and is a worse human being, perhaps, than George Bush. But the main reason why Trump is worse is because he has no regard for democracy at all and would end it in a second. I'm absolutely positive of that. And if he gets reelected, we will be headed in that direction. But in many other regards, Bush is still way worse. Trump has not gotten us into a war in the Middle East and cost a million lives. Score one for Trump in the competition for lowest bar in American history. But what I cannot tolerate is people whitewashing Bush. And I'll tell you why they do it. Because Bush was terrible to the outside world, but he was actually relatively good, or maybe even perfectly good, to the club. To insiders in D.C., he caused very little offense. Trump, on the other hand, is offensive to people inside the club. And so they look at it and go, what do you mean? To them, a million dead Iraqis is not an issue. It's not even 1% of an issue. They're like, are you crazy? Trump yells at a lot of people inside the club, and Bush was so nice to people inside the club. So that's why they view Bush as an infinitely better president than Trump.
So I see it a little differently than you do. I think that, yes, they are offended by Trump's somewhat anti-establishment feel. He's very much willing to attack even members of his own party, right, viciously, if they dare to cross him. But the difference between Trump and Bush, the big difference, is that Bush was polite, right? He believed in the decorum. He believed in putting a pleasant face onto the death and destruction that he was responsible for. Whereas Trump is not someone who's, first of all, I don't think he's sophisticated enough to do that. I can't believe I'm saying that Bush is at all in any way sophisticated, but he knew how to lie to the people by making it seem like he was this friendly, great guy that you'd want to have a beer with. Trump, on the other hand, you know, he doesn't hold back, and he speaks the way he speaks and doesn't try to, like, in a very sophisticated way, cover for how horrible he is as a person. So I think that one thing that really does alarm even members of the Republican Party is, we agree with what you're doing, Trump, but you got to at least lie and be polite about it. Otherwise, people are going to catch on to how hideous we are.
Yeah, that's definitely. And for the mainstream media, that's the number one issue. All they care about is civility, because civility equals status quo. We're in power right now. We all make millions of dollars. And Bush did not change that 1%. He was great. Civility, status quo, establishment was in perfect control. Trump is rocking the boat. And hey, knucklehead, you're supposed to lie better. Okay. So, I mean, we've had this literally as a poll question many times. Who's dumber? That Trump now has won that definitively, even though Bush is so unbelievably unintelligent. Trump lapped him. But who's a worse president? If you ended it today, it would be Bush because he caused death and destruction at a higher rate than Trump did. Trump's trying to desperately catch him with how he's handled coronavirus. But this is a Hobson's choice. This is the worst of the worst. But for the establishment, they don't view it that way at all. They view Trump as a troublemaker who doesn't even know how to lie with decency, whereas Bush was a perfectly good liar, and that's exactly what the establishment loves, including the establishment press.
So one final point on this. My favorite response to that video came from an Iraqi journalist who was made famous after he threw both shoes at Bush during a press conference. And so he responded by saying, your account balance has 1 million dead in Iraq only. You have no right to talk about victims. And I think you are no less bad than Corona. And so he's still throwing shoes at Bush. And for those of you who might be too young to remember that, this is what that scene looked like. And then later, Bush was asked about it. We just have a short video on that. Here's what his reaction to it was.
So what if the guy threw a shoe at me?
It just, it never gets old. It really doesn't.
Well, score one for Bush on two fronts. In the race to the bottom is who's worse, Trump or Bush. One, Trump would not have been able to get out of the way. I mean, his center of gravity would be harder to move. And number two, he would not have taken it as lightly. He would want that guy executed. So, I mean, his thin skin would have been pierced whether the shoe hit or not. So, but it really, any Democrat that plays along with Bush is now a good guy is rewriting history on behalf of Dick Cheney, Bush, and the Republican Party in a hideous way.
When we come back from the break, we have more news for you, including what I'm going to start referring to as the Little Bitch series. Donald Trump starts crying about how the media is mean to him again. And later in the show, we'll give you more, including, yes, at some point today, we will talk about the murderous hornets that went viral over the weekend. We'll be right back.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
All right, back on the Young Turks. First of all, I want to tell you about our partner Aspiration. We plant 10 trees every time you sign up. You could actually plant more trees as you spend on there. They are whatever you deposit, they are fossil fuel free with that. So it's a good way to get good return and do right in the world. Aspiration.com/TYT. Let's take a quick look at our thermometer for our fundraising effort. That's tyt.com/go. And I believe we're at 19,968. Can I see 20,000 by the end of the show? It seems like we could do that. And we've got a big show ahead for you guys tomorrow, 4 hours special, where we're going to go over our plan to take over the country. That's fun for everybody. Now let me go to the members real quick. English teacher 1984 writes in, I disagreed with almost everything Bush did as president, but I never doubted his love for this country, no matter how misguided he was. The current president has no love for anyone but himself. I agree with that. But I also agree with Cray Cray Soufflé, who says evil still lurks in the bushes. So it's both. So we do nuance on the show. YouTube Super Chat, Jessica Jeffrey says, join because Jenks sounds like my dad and I miss him. Now, that's a unique reason why. If you want to become a member, tyt.com/join. If you're watching on YouTube, you can hit the join button underneath. On Facebook, support the show is a way to become a member. All right, this is a really serious comment, but I really need to give it to you guys because this is how you guys are part of the show. On Twitter, the deaf bartender wrote in, "I was raped as a child. I denied it almost my entire life. It took me 20 years for me to finally come forward with the whole truth. Even now, I still don't give the details to every person I talk to." Super important perspective. Thank you for sharing it, and I wanted the audience to know it. All right, Anna, let's go forward.
All right. Donald Trump never misses an opportunity to cry like a child because he feels that people are too mean to him. Yes, that's the story we're doing, right? Oh, my bad. We're doing Pompeo next. My bad. Okay, so let me just reverse that for a second. So Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was recently being interviewed by Martha Raddatz, and he continued to push a conspiracy theory that has already been debunked by our intelligence community. This whole notion that the coronavirus was developed in a Chinese lab. That has been debunked, and he was asked about it. But get a load of how he says two things in a very short period of time.
Believe it was man-made or genetically modified?
Look, the best experts so far seem to think it was man-made. I have no reason to disbelieve that at this point.
Your Office of the DNI says the scientific consensus was not man-made or genetically modified.
That's right. I agree with that. Yeah, I've seen their analysis. I've seen the summary that you saw that was released publicly. I have no reason to doubt that that is accurate at this point.
Okay, so just to be clear, you do not think it was man-made or genetically modified?
I've seen what the intelligence committee has said. I have no reason to believe that they've got it wrong. Martha, you have to put this in context. Here's what's important, Martha. Here's what's important. The Chinese Communist Party had the opportunity to prevent all of the calamity that has befallen the world. And here we find ourselves today. You and I were talking about we haven't seen each other physically for a long time. That's true of people all across the world.
So he immediately deflected after he said two conflicting things. First, he disagreed, obviously, with what the DNI has found, which is that, again, that virus was not created in a lab by Chinese scientists. It's not genetically modified. That's how we can tell. And then he was challenged by what he said and immediately said, I believe our intelligence community. I mean, what are we doing?
Yeah. So let me give you the different parts of this conspiracy. So one is that everyone who believes in the conspiracy is saying that it came out of a lab in Wuhan rather than through food at a market, okay? And then the conspiracy theorists split into two. One says that it was man-made on purpose, and the other says, no, it wasn't man-made. The Chinese were studying it, and then a person in their lab contracted it and then went outside and spread it to other humans. Now, it's unclear which of those conspiracy theories that Pompeo ascribes to, because he said both during that interview. And I don't think that he miscommunicated it. I don't think he accidentally said that it was in a lab, that it was man-made, because if you watch the whole segment, the context was Pompeo starting with the theory, this came out of a Wuhan lab, the Chinese labs are terrible, and the Chinese did this, okay? So, well, when you see things along those lines, you're implying that they did it on purpose. So when then challenged on that, because the people saying it's man-made, that's been pretty much completely debunked. The scientists say, no, when you look at its genetic makeup and when you look at, the science behind it, it has not been altered. So it is not man-made. It is natural. So since that has been proven also by his own by our own agencies, then when challenged on it, Pompeo goes, sure, whatever. It doesn't matter. I wanted to blame the Chinese Communist Party because of a memo that we told you about last week on the show. The Republican leadership, the RNC, put out a memo saying, whenever you're asked about coronavirus, blame the Chinese Communist Party in that language, right? So he's having his cake and eating it too, spreading conspiracy theories so people can start hating the Chinese. And when challenged on it, going, I guess our intelligence disagrees. Who cares? Yeah, I'll say both.
So that Republican memo specifically said, do not defend the Trump administration's handling of the coronavirus. Instead, make China the boogeyman, right? Because this is, in my opinion, an admission by the RNC that the Trump administration has completely mishandled the response to this crisis. And it's better to just deflect and focus on China to make the Chinese out to be the bad guys, so some of the blame can be taken off of Trump's plate. But Trump is the person who is responsible for the handling of this virus in this country. He had been warned over and over again, beginning in January, regarding the seriousness of this virus. He was fully aware of the seriousness of this virus. He was warned multiple times in intelligence briefings and by his own advisors, and he still refused to do a damn thing about it. So what this is really about is an attempt to deflect and to place the blame on, you know, whoever. And in this case, they're going to go ahead and blame the Chinese, right? So again, don't let them do that, because Trump went from saying that we would have zero cases of coronavirus today to now admitting that he is expecting at least 100,000 deaths as a result of the virus. And we've already lost more than 65,000 Americans due to this pandemic. And it could have been prevented if we had a competent president, a competent leader, who actually listened to advisors and did the right thing. Trump did not do the right thing, because at the end of the day, the only thing this guy cares about is his own pocketbook, his own finances, and using the office of the president to enrich himself. That's it.
So real quick, the last two things on this is that whenever you hear Chinese communist government, that's coming from the memo, and that's a ploy to do propaganda and brainwash you. So you could see it definitively, because Trump earlier in this crisis kept complimenting the Chinese government and never called them the Chinese communist government, because he was trying to do a trade deal with them. TYT Investigates has a brilliant video him for 3 minutes straight saying how great the Chinese are and how he trusts them with this coronavirus. So now they're turning around and saying communist every time, Chinese communist government, because they want to demonize them. And they know it's racial. In the memo, they say, when you are attacked for being racist, because they know it is racist, do this, this, and this. So that's one element of it. The second element of it is, look, guys, I know there's a million conspiracy theories now, and I want to be clear, I don't automatically trust any government, certainly not the Chinese government. So, I don't dismiss out of hand that it didn't necessarily have the origin story that the Chinese government told us. But when the scientists say they looked at the genetic code and the chemistry of it, and it is not man-made, that's the best evidence we have to go on. So that part of it, it appears to clearly be a conspiracy theory, and it's disturbing but not unusual that the Trump administration would push it.
All right, one final story for you, and this goes along with Trump's usual pattern. Donald Trump loves to whine about the media being mean to him, even though he's literally the most powerful person on the planet. And he shared his thoughts during a recent town hall with Fox News. Take a look.
Use descriptive words that could be classified as bullying, and why do you not directly answer the questions asked by the press, but instead speak of past successes and generally ramble? The USA needs you. Please let go of those behaviors that are turning people away from you. Please hold on to your wonderful attributes that make you our great leader, and let go of other characteristics that do not serve you.
Good. I think I like that question. I'm not sure, but I think I like that question. I appreciate it. I appreciate the prayers too very much. Look, I am greeted with a hostile press, the likes of which no president has ever seen. The closest would be that gentleman right up there. They always said Lincoln. Nobody got treated worse than Lincoln. I believe I am treated worse. You're there. You see those press conferences. They come at me with questions that are disgraceful, to be honest, disgraceful. Their manner of presentation and their words. And I feel that if I was kind to them, I'd be walked off the stage.
He is a little bitch. Go ahead, Cenk. That's all I have to say about it.
Okay. So, look, as we all know, Lincoln was shot in the back of the head. So that's a pretty bad way to get treated. Now, we gave you the full context. He appears to be talking about how the media treated Lincoln. So just straightforward on that. And you saw the whole video. At the same time, you think the press treated Lincoln well? Well, half the press was in the South and thought he was the worst thing that humanity had ever produced. And so the idea that the Southern press was somehow more gentle to Lincoln than the press is being to Trump now is beyond absurd. And does anyone think that Trump actually read the history of how the press treated Lincoln? Of course not. He can't read past the page. All he wants to do is, I suffer the most injustice. I deserve to cry the most. And when I cry like this, it's not because I'm a baby. Lincoln used to cry too. No, Lincoln didn't cry. And Lincoln didn't do any of the antics that you did. And yes, he was in many ways treated far, far worse than you.
Yeah, and look, Trump continuously reminds me of like the lowest common denominator that you'll find on Twitter, right? The kinds of people who will go out of their way to try to attack you, right? And they'll throw anything at you. And then if you have the audacity to respond, I'm a victim. Oh, it's an ad hominem attack. You're attacking me. And it's like, okay, Trump himself is the most divisive person to ever sit in the Oval Office. He attacks the press as the enemy of the people on a regular basis. And then he gets hurt when they ask him a question that's even mildly challenging. In the beginning of his answer there, he was like, I think I like that question, because his brain is always thinking like, oh, is this question too challenging? Because if it is, then they're being mean to me. You're the president of the United States. You need to be able to handle challenging questions, not only from average citizens, which was the case in that video, but from journalists who go to your press briefings to ask you difficult questions. Like this constant, like, oh, I'm a victim coming from the president is so embarrassing. I mean, that's an alpha male? I don't think so.
It's the biggest cuck you'll ever see. Cries over everything. One more. In fact, let me give you a quote right now. When Bush put out the thing saying, hey, let's unite the country about coronavirus, it was not a shot at Trump or anything along those lines. It was just a generic message. And Trump tweets this back. He says, I appreciate the message from President Bush, but where was he during impeachment calling for putting partisanship aside? He was nowhere to be found speaking up against the greatest hoax in American history. Dude, what does this have to do with impeachment? He's like, oh, but he didn't defend me during impeachment. And he looks more presidential than me. Boo. God, he's so pathetic. And if you look up to him, as I've said many times, you're arguably worse.
Postgame is next, where we will talk about additional crazy conservative conspiracy theories in regard to coronavirus and more. Become a member. Go to tyt.com/join. Everyone else, we'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.